Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Keith Mayer and Wally Mead wrap up their What's New in System Center 2012 Configuration Manager SP1 series, and in today's episode, they discuss what's new in endpoint protection. Tune in as Wally shows us how to install endpoint protection during a specific maintenance window, how to find all clients infected with malware, and how to take immediate action and update anti-malware definitions quicker and easier than before. Keith, the mic is yours.
Welcome back to another episode of TechNet Radio. My name is Keith Mayer, and I'm an IT Pro Technical Evangelist at Microsoft. Today, we're back again with Wally Mead, Senior Program Manager on the System Center Client Management Team and all-around Config Manager guru, to talk about some of the additional new features in Service Pack 1 of System Center 2012 Configuration Manager. Welcome back, Wally. It's great to have you.
Well, good to be back, Keith. Always enjoy chatting with you guys.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Wally, today our topic is on endpoint protection. And I know that with the release of the RTM release of System Center 2012, a lot of IT pros have been using the integrated features of managing endpoint protection from their Config Manager consoles along with all of their other client management needs. But as I understand it, there's some new features that Service Pack 1 is going to introduce around endpoint protection as well that'll make things even easier and more productive for managing endpoint protection and definition updates and whatnot. So as I understand it, Wally, Service Pack 1, if I read correctly, is going to give us some better control over the deployment of the endpoint protection client components as well. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, there's a few things we've added into the Service Pack 1 release in the endpoint protection area. And one of those is around the client deployment process. So we've made some changes to our client deployment to allow you to control when it gets installed a little bit easier. In fact, what people are very excited about is the ability of specifying maintenance windows and have us installed during maintenance windows as opposed to real time. And the big reason for that is that you may be required to do a restart of your client after installing the endpoint protection client agent. So you can control that now with a client agent setting, as well as the ability now of persisting the endpoint protection client install in a Windows embedded environment. So the ability of disabling the write filter, writing the agent installation code out there, and then re-enabling the write filter when you're all done. So we have some new client agent controls around the actual installation and deployment of the endpoint protection client agent.
Oh, okay. So it seems like the new Windows embedded support would be key for environments that are using maybe kiosks or point-of-sale terminals or maybe just thin clients running Windows embedded. Is that what you guys are thinking?
ATMs, all those different types of Windows embedded devices. So if you don't want to, you've created your image, you didn't have the endpoint protection client installed in your image when you deployed it, you can now deploy it and have it persisted through the Service Pack 1 Configuration Manager client agent installation with the endpoint protection process.
Gotcha. So when configuring endpoint protection, then, are there some additional settings that we can use to, say, only install within a maintenance window?
Yep. We have those controls in our client settings now.
Okay. Would you be able to do a quick demo and show us where those are?
Absolutely. All right, so here we are in my Service Pack 1 admin console, and I'm in the administration workspace sitting on client settings, and we have the default client settings. You may not want to utilize the same client settings for all of your clients, so generally you probably don't want to implement this for everybody with the same settings. So you may not want to implement the changes for the default client settings. So let's just go ahead and create a custom client setting, and we'll just call it TechNet Radio Demo, and then you pick and choose which components you want to modify, and in our case, obviously, we'd want to modify endpoint protection. So I'll go ahead and select the endpoint protection checkbox, and that adds the node here. I just click on endpoint protection, and now it shows me all of the features that I can go ahead and enable for the client. And you notice that it says manage endpoint protection client on client computers. That would be a configuration manager client. Yes, install endpoint protection client on client computers. That means we're going to go ahead and deploy the endpoint protection client on those configuration manager clients. So you configure that. And then specifically what we're talking about here's the allow endpoint protection client installation and restarts outside of maintenance windows.
Ah, okay.
And the maintenance window must be at least 30 minutes long for client installation. It doesn't take 30 minutes at all, but we just give you that timer on there, just give you some fail-safe. And the default is no. So if I want to control the client installs within my maintenance window, I would go ahead and change that to a yes, and then it would only do the install and restart on the next available client maintenance window. Mm-hmm. And then the next checkbox there, or next option, is for Windows embedded devices. So if I have Windows embedded devices and I need to get the Endpoint Protection Client Agent installed, here's what I would go ahead and do. I would go ahead and say, yes, I want to do this, which then disables the write filter on the Windows embedded device. We go ahead and install the Endpoint Protection Client Agent. And then once it's installed, we go ahead and re-enable the write filter so that the OS is now protected from anything the end user would happen to go ahead and do.
Gotcha. And that's all done as part of the endpoint protection install. There's no additional like package settings or anything that the IT pro needs to do in order to enable that, right?
Nope. You just go ahead and configure these settings the way you want to, whether it is in default, if you want to hit all your clients with the same configuration, or if you want custom, you do like this. You create a custom client device setting. Mm-hmm. Once you've created that, you just take your custom one and you go ahead and do a deploy, and you specify the collection of clients, like Windows 8 clients that you want to deploy this to, and bingo. These settings will now override the default client settings that you see right above here based on the priority. You see the priority of the one I just created is 1, which is higher than the priority of 10,000. So mm-hmm. anything with a lower number or higher priority than 10,000 will override the settings that are in the default client settings.
Okay, great. And as I understand it, if the same client setting, if multiple client settings are deployed to the same collection, if they have different collection groups of settings inside of them, will they merge together? Is that right?
Yeah, they'll merge together. Then yeah. Any conflict. So if one client setting said don't install endpoint protection, and the other one said do install endpoint protection, it based off for priority. So the one with the highest priority will always win out over something with the lower priority.
Gotcha. Okay, well, that seems really easy. Thanks so much, Wally.
Yeah, then once you do that, we install the Endpoint Protection Client Agent. So here it is on my, this is my site server, but it gets mm-hmm. installed there as well. So here's the agent install. And then you go ahead and, let me go ahead and click that again. It installs automatically, and you can see that it has gone ahead and it's done a up-to-date definition. So I'm up-to-date on my definitions. This is the end user ability to do work. You can turn this off if you don't want them to have that ability, but you can see I can mm-hmm. launch a quick scan, full scan, custom schedules, and then down below is my what my scan schedule is set by the administrator in this case.
Awesome. Well, great. Thanks so much, Wally. That seems really easy to use.
It very much is.
Thanks, Wally, for showing us that those additional settings in endpoint client protection. That gives us a lot more control, a lot more reasonable to deploy the endpoint protection client out to larger numbers of devices within our organizations. As I'm using endpoint protection after it's deployed with Config Manager, you know, sometimes when I've been experiencing malware issues on clients, I found that it would have been nice to be able to bring up a list of all of the clients that are maybe impacted by that same malware issue to see how widespread any type of malware issue may be, and maybe be able to take action on that group of clients all at once. Now, with Service Pack 1 of Config Manager 2012, is it any easier to do those types of actions?
Yeah, we've got we've added a new dashboard into the Configuration Manager console. So if you played around with the RTM release, there was a endpoint protection dashboard that was a client computer centric or based dashboard that would let you see malware, and I could click and find some malware there. We also now have a malware detected dashboard that helps you look specifically at the malware and files that are affected and so on and launch off some action. So we've done that. We've also changed around a couple of our reports to make it easier for you to see a dashboard in reporting view for those that don't have access to the console. So yeah, numerous different ways where you can see the status of clients as well as what malware they've been infected by or what all clients have been infected by specific malware.
Oh, that's great. Would you be able to show us some of those new reporting options?
Absolutely. So here's the administrator console for Configuration Manager 2012 Service Pack 1. And as you can see in the monitoring workspace, we now have two different dashboards available to you. The one that you've seen before, which is the Endpoint Protection Status Dashboard, which is the one that's a little bit off to the right-hand side of the screen that I'll show you in a moment. And then the new one we have added, which is the malware detected, and I'll drill into that one as well for you.
Okay.
So we've added the second dashboard node for you. What the first one shows you, which is the same basic one we had in the RTM release, is it will show you for your collection of clients, in this case my collection called Configuration Manager Clients. It shows you the last date and time we did summarization, which was a little while ago. It tells me how many clients in my collection I have. In this case, it says I have three clients in my collection that are protected with endpoint protection. So all of my clients have installed the endpoint protection client agent on it. And it tells me what my active clients are. So I have two active clients. Nobody's at risk. And actually, I have one client that is inactive. So the client is reported into the collection. I just haven't started the image. So the that client computer is not actually running. I just have two images there because I wanted some different status in our reports coming up.
Sure.
So I have that. Then if you scroll off to the right, then you get the malware remediation status. So here it says, I've had one of my three computers affected by malware, and in this case, in the last 24 hours, had one remediation. And I'll click on that in just a minute. Down below that, I'll see the top five malware for any computers in my environment. And I need to zoom out and then scroll down a little bit for you to see that. So we'll go right here. And now you can see that it says I've got one malware found. It tells me the name of the malware and how many clients it's impacted. In this case, one-third of my clients. And I'll go further there in just a minute. Then down at the bottom of the dashboard, we have two different portions. On the right-hand side is my definition status. So it shows me, of my three clients in this collection, what is the status of the definitions? Obviously, you want to have all your clients with a current definition file. It says two-thirds of mine are. The other one is not an active client right now. It's not been turned on. So, but he will tell me if I have anybody that's really old, and maybe my policy for that that segment of clients is out of date. Maybe I have an issue getting my endpoint protection definition downloaded from the distribution point because of boundaries or whatever, but I can drill in to find more information about that. And then off the left-hand side is just a recap of my client installation issues or operational status issues. Did any fail to install the endpoint protection client agent? Any malware policy fails for application installs and restarts pending and so on. So I get good basic information about my client status through this dashboard. Now, where you're specifically going was I can click this one blue bar on my malware, and what that launches off is a what we call a sticky node. So it switches me over to the assets and compliance workspace and shows me here's all the clients that have been affected by that malware. In this case, it's only
that's
one.
Great.
So it tells me the client name. It tells me what my status is for endpoint protection, what my status is for application of the policy, and I got to scroll off to the right a little bit, get you more information here. It's one of the things is zoom it. You lose a little bit, but and it tells you if you had any remediations and in your definition version. So I can see exactly what the state is of my client. If I then go down to the bottom, down at the very bottom of the client in the preview pane, there's a couple of tabs that are available for me, malware detail and anti-malware policies. So if I click the malware detail tab, down in the bottom, then it shows me the virus name, the threat name, and then what the category is, what my action was on it, successfully remediated, and so on. I get all of the information about that malware. And this, again, would be from that bar chart, which is all the clients affected by this one malware.
Great.
Then we also have reports. So if I want to, I can go to the report. Here's the default report you'd start with, anti-malware overall status and summary. So this report shows you your overall status. I have two protected clients and one that's inactive, as we saw on the dashboard. My remediation status, I've had one client clean in the last 24 hours, and my overall protection status and my history. And it gives me my operational status issues. Basically, the same information as that dashboard, it's just now in a report format. So maybe you manage the environment, so you have the Configuration Manager dashboard and console. I don't have access to the console, but I still want to see this information. You can send me this report URL, and I can run this report anytime I want to and get the same basic information, just more in a chart format than the dashboard view we have.
Oh, great. So for a larger enterprise organization, it might be that the security auditor, for instance, or the security person within the IT team has access to the reports where the people that are maintaining assets and devices and applications and whatnot, they have access to the console. But either way, both sets of users can see the current protection status and whatnot.
Yep, they can see from the appropriate console they have, whether it's
Yep.
Report Manager for SRS or whether it's for our ConfigMan admin console appropriately. And of course, we have role-based administration controls and endpoint protection, just like we have in all the other features. So
Sure.
if all you manage is endpoint protection, that's all the stuff you'll see in the console is just related to endpoint protection.
So through the new reporting features in Service Pack 1 of Config Manager, we have much better visibility into the status of endpoint protection and malware issues and their remediation results. So if I'm looking at the reports, Wally, and I want to maybe take action on one or more clients, maybe I see that their definition updates are out of date, for instance, and I want to kind of immediately or as soon as possible force their definition updates or other remediation actions. I know with 2012 RTM, it was kind of tied to the client polling interval for policies. Is there any way in Service Pack 1 to be able to push out those types of actions more immediately?
Yeah, you're exactly right, Keith. In the RTM release of the product, if you went to the dashboard or the admin console and requested a download a policy or a quicker full scan, you're right. What we did is we created a policy. And it would wait until the client computer next did its machine policy retrieval and evaluation cycle. Then it would say, oh, I'm supposed to download policy. Here's my new source. Or I'm supposed to do a quick scan. It would do that. But you had that delay in the time from when you as the admin said do this until the client would actually do that. Now with Service Pack 1, we've added in this new feature that's really exciting called real-time actions. And there's a number of real-time actions available for endpoint protection, such as those three we just mentioned, download policies or run a scan. But there's also some based on malware. Hey, this is not a real malware. I want to go ahead and allow this threat. And, oh, by the way, if you quarantine some files, go ahead and restore those files type things. Those are all real-time actions. So what the real-time actions really mean for you is that instead of waiting for the client polling policy cycle, what happens now is at each SP1 client startup, when it finds its management point, it establishes a TCP direct connection, what we call a lightweight connection to that management point. And then the client will be listening on that lightweight TCP connection for any commands. You, the admin now for endpoint protection, you tell my client to do a quick scan, it's going to go ahead and do a quick scan within seconds. It'll kick off. It won't wait for that policy polling interval. So the site server pushes that command down through that connection through the MP down to the client directly and says, hey, do this right now. And it will go ahead and launch that off. And bingo, you're off and running doing whatever the action was you wanted to have us do.
Oh, that's great. Would you be able to show us how an IT pro could initiate some of these new real-time actions in the console?
That I can do. So here we are back in the admin console looking at that endpoint protection dashboard. And these real-time actions can be initiated in a couple of different places depending upon the action you want. So first off, I'll switch back over to the assets and compliance workspace. And I'll go to my collection of clients. I'll go to device collections. And here's the collection of clients I'm working with, Configuration Manager clients. Now, up on the ribbon, you see this action that we had in the RTM product called Endpoint Protection. And if you either drop down on the ribbon or you right-click on the client, you have these three actions here, those three we talked about, full scan, quick scan, or download definition. And in the RTM product, that would then create policy that said, hey, do one of these things next time you pull. Well, what I'll go ahead and do is I'll tell my client, just a collection of clients, I'll say do a quick scan. And we pop up the message saying, hey, do you know that you're doing a quick scan to all clients in this collection that could result in high CPU utilization and generate network traffic depending upon what you're doing? So we warn the admin just to be aware of what you're doing. And I'll say, yes, I know what I'm doing. And then momentarily what should happen is I'll launch off my client agent, this guy should kick in and do a scan very, very quickly on the client based off that real-time actions. And there you see it's kicked off
there it goes.
The scan.
Yeah.
So
awesome.
There's no cards up the sleeves or anything. This was all built in off that real-time TCP connection. So that would happen whether it was the download policy or definitions, whether it was a full scan or quick scan, it would go ahead and kick those actions off automatically. Now, okay. So that's for those things that you know about from the RTM code. Now, we also have some things specific to endpoint protection itself for the Service Pack 1. So here's I'm back in my endpoint protection dashboard. Let's go over to this malware detected view, which we didn't look at earlier. So here it says I have malware that's been detected on my clients. So the other dashboard was the client-centric view. This is the malware-centric view. So it's saying on these two collections, all systems and configuration manager clients, I've had this virus appear, and it tells me that what's the virus, the severity, and how many clients are members of that collection, and so on. And then down at the very bottom, I have a node that shows me more information about that specific virus. Mm-hmm. And then down at the bottom, I have these files modified. So if I go ahead and click on files modified for you, it will show me the specific file that was modified by this or impacted by this virus. Mm-hmm. And here you can see that this specific file is c:\malwarefiles:test1.txt. It's just a sample file. And I'll show you in a moment that the client has been remediated from that, which we can tell on the summary. It tells me that the, you can see my status summary here is all total infected clients 1 and remediated is 1. So I'm 100% mm-hmm. compliant with that threat. But what I can do here now is, oh, really, that wasn't really a malware. That was just a, it was what we call a false positive.
Yep. Okay.
So what I could do here is I could click the ribbon action up here at the top. I got a couple of new ribbon actions. Allow this threat, restore files quarantined by this threat. So I want to say, gotcha. Yeah, I want you to allow this ICAR test file virus. So I'll go ahead and say, I can go ahead and click that action, and it says, do you want to, I'll zoom in for you, do you want to go ahead and allow this to be accessed all systems? And I can go ahead and say yes, and then that will go ahead and allow that threat to be accessed by all systems. Now, before I kick off and do the restore quarantine files, I'm going to switch over to my client VM, the one that has that virus that was impacted, show you that test1.txt is no longer there in the file system because it's been quarantined. Then I'll come back here and I'll do the restore files quarantined by this threat, and you'll see that it has been restored automatically through this real-time action scenario.
Oh, okay, great.
So here's my client computer, the one that had the file quarantined on it because of the malware. So you can see it's got an up-to-date definition. Mm-hmm. On the end-user side of things, if you allow them to have access to the System Center 2012 Endpoint Protection UI like you see here, you could go to the History tab and then say View Details, and I can see the details of that malware. So here I found that virus, DOS, ICAR, test file, severe, it was quarantined. And I can remove this record if I want to. But just showing you that you can track it on the end user side of things as far as the actions that have happened. Mm-hmm. So here's my client file system, and you notice that there's no test1.txt file in this folder. And that's the folder it said it found the malware in, c:\malwarefiles, and then it was test1.txt is the one that was bad. Now if I go ahead and launch off, I'll say test 2. Oops, it's already allowed that threat now. It's already got the real-time action to say allow the threat. Otherwise, mm-hmm. this would have popped up and said, hey, you got a malware on your system. It would have cleaned it automatically.
Right.
So it's already
okay.
got the real-time action to go ahead and clean that file, or not clean the file, but to allow this threat. Otherwise, test 2 would have gone away. So now what we'll do is we'll go back over and do the real-time action to say restore the quarantine file, come back over to our client, and we'll see that the test1 file has been restored through the real-time actions back on my site server, or from my site server to the client. So you saw that the client already received the allow this threat real-time action when I hit that earlier. I was hoping I'd get there and show you that before, but I kind of delayed too much. But now what I'm going to do is I'm going to click the restore files quarantined by this threat. So even though it allowed test2.txt to be utilized, it didn't restore that file that it quarantined earlier. So I'm going to say, yes, I really do want you to restore that file. So I'm going to say restore files without a dependency and allow exclusion rule. I'll say that. That's a real-time action. So now what's going to happen, that's going to get pushed down to that client computer. And in real time, probably by the time we switch back over there, that client computer is going to go ahead and restore test1.txt. So the, there, it just popped in. You just, maybe you, hopefully you got the camera rolling in time to see that the test one file just appeared automagically. So that real-time action that went ahead and said, yes, that file that we quarantined before, we weren't going to let you run, you can go ahead and now run it, along with any of those other files. All these files are running that same ICAR utility to go ahead and simulate a, not utility, but just that string, just simulates a virus, the malware stuff. So it popped that up there, and now it goes ahead and restores that file. I can launch off those other ones. So now my client end of things, if I were to go back out here and do an update or summary and history, you see that the file's gone. So it's gone ahead and, hey, it wasn't really a file that's been quarantined anymore because it's now been removed. It's been allowed to happen automatically through the endpoint protection from my administrator. So it was a false positive, and bingo, you can go back out and run that application now.
Gotcha. So the difference between these last two actions are that the allow threats prevents new false positives from occurring around that same malware definition, whereas the restore quarantine files allows you to restore files that were previously quarantined before the allow threats action was deployed. Is that right?
Yeah, so the one lets you run that file again if it's not been quarantined. And the other one says, yes, let me go ahead and not only run the file, but let me go ahead and get that file back in case it was quarantined. So you may have to do both of them to get the files that you need. But yeah, one says, hey, that's not a threat anymore. Go ahead and let me run that in the future. And the restore file says, hey, if you did quarantine any files by that threat, go ahead and get them back.
Great. And because these real-time actions are using lightweight TCP connections and distributed out through the management points, there's no scalability issues or anything of that nature in terms of how many clients the real-time actions are being deployed to? Is that right?
No, we've designed this to be a scenario where you could implement it on all your clients in your entire environment. So from a standalone primary site that supports 100,000 clients, and obviously a hierarchy can be 400,000. Now, we don't expect you're going to go out there and launch a real-time action on 100,000 clients from these CAS. But we do want to allow, and our testing has shown that we're in pretty good shape as far as the performance through scalability scenarios. So you can go ahead and utilize these features as you need. You can also track them in the admin console. So if we switch back over to our site server's admin console, you can view status on those real-time actions and see how many clients were online, how many successfully completed the process. So you just don't want to just randomly fire this off and think about
sure.
it. You want to know that it did really work on all the clients that you targeted to.
Sure, sure, particularly if it's an issue that you're trying to take care of as quickly as possible. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yep.
Great. Those real-time actions are awesome for being able to gain better control and management when we're kind of pressured to resolve or remediate malware issues in one way or another. Thinking about other things that I frequently have to do with malware, it seems like definition updates are happening more and more frequently, and that's one of probably the more frequent tasks that I need to perform inside the Config Manager console for endpoint protection. Wally, in Service Pack 1, are there any changes in terms of definition updates that might make that either quicker or easier for IT pros?
Yeah, a couple of things we've done in Service Pack 1 and that regard. One is that Microsoft we may release new definitions every 8 hours, so three times a day. And in the RTM release of the product, we could only synchronize with WSUS through our patch synchronization process of once a day. So that obviously a couple times a day, you might have been out of sync from what Microsoft's released to what you have within Configuration Manager. So in Service Pack 1, we now allow you to configure synchronization of three times a day. So you can now synchronize your software update point with your WSUS environment three times a day, which would be in sequence with the process we have for releasing our malware definition updates.
Great.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And the second thing we've done is, as you say, deploying definitions, because of the fact that they're numerous times a day, can be a lengthy and repetitive process that you have to go through on a daily basis and multiple times a day. So we have this technology called the Automatic Deployment Rules, which we released in ConfigMan 2012 RTM, that would help you automate those procedures. Well, in our Service Pack 1, we've actually created a default template for you for utilizing Automatic Deployment Rules for either a Patch Tuesday scenario or, more appropriately for this conversation, a Definition Update scenario.
Oh, okay. Can we take a look at that new software update template together?
We can do that. So I just mentioned that we can monitor from the admin console these real-time actions, and here you see I'm back in the monitoring workspace, and I'm sitting on a new node that appears in Service Pack 1 called Client Operations. The Client Operations is the name that we're putting in the admin console for these real-time actions. And then off to the right-hand side, you see the operation name, allow threat, restore quarantine files, quick scan, and some download stuff. So those are the actions, and you can then see the when it was created, what the status is of that with that action, and the collections targeting, and my status. So a couple of these, you can see that the clients are sitting at zero. Others have three and two appropriately. Those are actions I ran beforehand just to get some history in here for us. But those couple of actions I just ran don't have any status back. And we actually do have status back. It's just a matter of summarization. So if I just take that action for restore quarantine files, and I go up to the ribbon and say run summarization, give that a moment to think. Once I get all these state messages back from my client saying, yes, I've restored this file, and now we've summarized it, I can then do a refresh. And if we've got the state back, status back, this will go ahead and change to a newer value. So I guess I don't have my status back for my clients yet, or the task hasn't finished summarizing. Oh, there we go. There it goes. So now I've got one for the restore quarantine file. I have one client, one success. Failed would be obviously those that failed. Offline would be clients that don't currently have a TCP connection or a fallback HTTP connection with the management point for some reason. The port was blocked in their firewall, and you get to control the port that we're using for these real-time actions. And then unknown is clients that we don't have any status back from at all. So other things happening. Okay. And you can see a couple other things I haven't talked about here. We also have download computer policy. So even though what we've talked about here is these real-time actions for endpoint protection, you can also force clients to, on demand, download a computer policy. So wow. Anything that would require a computer policy, like a patch deployment or a application deployment, you can do a right-click on that collection, say, download computer policies, and that becomes a real-time action that you can see here. And you can track those in this node as well.
Wow, that's awesome. That's very useful. Lots of different ways that could be used.
Yeah. Then if you want to clean things up, you can always cancel these things if they're active, or you can delete. Hey, I don't need that quick scan anymore. I can just go ahead and say delete. It says, are you sure it's going to be deleted? I'm now gone, and I've removed it from the console. Remove that clutter, because we do expect people will be using these a little more frequently now that they have those real-time capabilities.
Gotcha.
So we're back in the admin console again, and in this case, we're in the software library workspace. First time we've been there today. And this is where you'd create applications, packages, operating system images, task sequences, and manage your software update technology. So I'm going to go ahead and expand software updates. And what we're talking about here is the faster and more efficient ability of deploying these definition updates out to my client computers. So what we have now are these automatic deployment rules, which there's none built in by default with Configuration Manager 2012 RTM or Service Pack 1. But now what we've automated in Service Pack 1 is if I go create a new automatic deployment rule, and I'll just again call this TechNet Radio Demo. Now I can go ahead and click Manage Templates. So I'll just go ahead and highlight that for you before we zoom in, before I click it. So I'll do a Manage Templates. And we have two templates built in, one for definition updates and one for Patch Tuesday scenarios. So I'll go ahead and take the definition updates template, click OK. Now what that's going to do is all these other pages here on the left-hand side of this navigation, all these other pages are going to have a lot of answers built in for me for how do you go out there and find and deploy definition updates. So let's go walk through the wizard real quick. So I have to give it a collection, so I'll just go ahead and say my Configuration Manager Clients collection. And I'll just go ahead and notice it's going to add to an existing software update group, because you don't want to create a brand new software update group for every definition update, because that's, again, three times a day. So you dramatically create those. And then it's going to enable this automatically. So once it's enabled or created, it's going to be enabled and an active ADR. So I'll click Next. Here it's saying send only error messages. So don't go out there and notify me every single time I download a definition. Just give me error messages if I have problems. And automatically approve any license agreements that are there. It's going to go ahead and look for definition updates as my update classification. So it's going to look for definition updates. You could go in there and put in a rule if you wanted to for date release in the last 8 hours or last day or whatever you wanted to. But it's automatically got definition updates in there as your classification. But you can modify that as necessary. Evaluation schedule. Run this whenever you go ahead and do your software update point synchronization. So you're syncing three times a day. As soon as you're done syncing, you may have new definitions. Go run this automatic deployment rule to see if anything, any new definitions are there. If so, then go ahead and utilizing client UTC, go ahead and deploy these at a specific time, being 1 hour from now they're available. And then your deadline is as soon as possible. Give us a little bit of time to get those definitions downloaded from the web through the software update point and then distributed out to your distribution point. So give us an hour to do that. And then go ahead and as soon as you can after that, go ahead and deploy these new definition updates. So again, all these wizard pages are all pre-populated with the default settings that we think you'd want to have for definition updates. On user experience, there's no sense in doing a notifying the end user when you do a new definition update, because that's going to bother them numerous times a day. So hide the fact that we're doing definition updates from them. So hide that notification and allow the installation outside of maintenance windows, because again, it's not going to require a reboot to install a new definition update. So again, go ahead and deploy these and not generate any alerts. You can if you want to. And then it just gets into the deployment settings. So go ahead and download across slow networks boundaries if necessary, and allow other clients to share in the same subnet, which is branch cache. And go ahead and use fallback distribution points or remote DPs. And it says download content for Microsoft Update. So as a worst case, if for some reason you can't find these updates, these definitions on your configuration manager distribution point, go ahead and allow the clients to go up to Microsoft Update and download those definitions for Microsoft Update. The goal is you want to make sure you're up to date. So right. You go ahead and allow that to happen. And then you just finish up the wizard. What package do you want to create for it? So you go ahead and create the package. And then your download location and so on, what languages you want, and bingo, you're off and running. So a very, very simple process that you can go through.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier with those intelligent defaults that the template supplies.
Yeah, and one more thing I'll show you before we end this demo. Let me go back over to Assets and Compliance. Down in my Endpoint Protection Anti-Malware Policies, you can specify what your sources of updates for definition files are. So I'll just look at the default at client anti-malware policy, and here's all the defaults that go to all clients unless overridden by a custom one. And then down on the definition updates node, you have all these settings to designate how you want to find definition updates. How often do you check for them, and what is your source of them? So let me go ahead and click Set Source, and you'll see that you actually have five different sources available to you for getting definition updates. Configuration Manager, WSUS, Microsoft Update, and Microsoft Malware Protection Center, and then UNC File Shares. You don't normally enable UNC File Shares, but in my demo environment I do, because I'm not actively on the internet. So I go ahead and use file shares to store my definition updates for updating. But you go ahead and pick whichever one of these sources you want to utilize. If Configurations Manager is there, that means get them from a ConfigMan DP and utilize that distribution process to get your definition updates from there. And you can always take one of these and you can move it up and down the list as appropriate for you to control the order and how we're processing these. So you can set your defaults the way you want them. You can create custom settings like I actually have here for newer definitions. And if I go look at that, all I have in there is the definition updates, and I just gave it a different path. So just a different path that's changed from what the default definition is. But you can create custom settings and assign them to clients, just like we did the client setting to enable endpoint protection. So you can control that and then use the ADR if you want to utilize the configuration manager process for distributing these updates and keeping yourself up to date. So set your sync interval for your software update point every 8 hours, configure this, and we'll go ahead and run that ADR every 8 hours right after you finish your sync, and then we'll go ahead and distribute new updates and deploy them to your clients automatically for you. So completely hands-off once you've enabled the endpoint protection role, enabled the client agent, got definition updates as a classification in downloads, and then you create your ADR.
Wow, this alone makes the update to SP1 so worthwhile, because it allows IT pros to reduce the amount of time that they're spending managing repetitive updates and definitions and whatnot, and focus in on more value-added components of configuration management, for being able to deploy new applications or take advantage of some of the other new features we've talked about in this series.
Yeah, get rid of that busy work that you have to do to keep your security up to date, and then get down to the real task of, let me go ahead and manage my clients. I don't have to do all the administration of it. I can do the managing of the deploying the software as you're talking about.
Yep, exactly. So in today's episode of TechNet Radio, we've been looking at the new features around endpoint protection in Service Pack 1 of System Center 2012 Configuration Manager with Wally Mead, Senior Program Manager on the System Center Client Management Team. Wally, thanks so much for your time today. I'm really excited about these new endpoint protection features that you've shown us.
Well, you're very welcome, Keith. Again, it's always a pleasure, and I always enjoy talking about our product and getting the word out there and helping people get further along in their deployments.
Thanks again. And thank you, everyone, for joining us for this episode of TechNet Radio. Hopefully you've seen some great features in endpoint protection that Service Pack 1 will allow you to take advantage of to reduce the amount of time that you're using to maintain security in your environment. And now it's kind of your turn to go out to the TechNet site and to download the RTM bits for Service Pack 1 of System Center 2012 Config Manager, load it up in your lab environment, test it out, and begin planning for your own migration. Thanks again for watching this episode of TechNet Radio. Join us for the next episode as we talk about other new features in Service Pack 1 regarding System Center 2012. Next time we're going to be talking about private cloud management. Thanks, everyone.